turn to Psalm 9. You can look in your Psalter or in your Bible at this psalm. I'll read it as it appears in the New King James. We'll take a few moments to meditate on this psalm. This is God's Word. To the chief musician, to the tune of Death of the Sun, a psalm of David. I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will tell of all your marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. When my enemies turn back, they shall fall and perish at your presence. For you have maintained my right and my cause. You sat on the throne, judging in righteousness. You have rebuked the nations. You have destroyed the wicked. You have blotted out their name forever and ever. O enemy, destructions are finished forever. And you have destroyed cities. Even their memory has perished. But the Lord shall endure forever. He has prepared his throne for judgment. He shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall administer judgment for the peoples in uprightness. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And those who know your name will put their trust in you. For you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. Sing praises to the Lord who dwells in Zion. Declare his deeds among the people. When he avenges blood, he remembers them. He does not forget the cry of the humble. Have mercy on me, O Lord. Consider my trouble from those who hate me. You who lift me up from the gates of death, that I might tell of all your praise in the gates of the daughter of Zion. I will rejoice in your salvation. The nations have sunk down in the pit which they made, in the net which they hid, their own foot is caught. The Lord is known by the judgment he executes. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. Meditation, Selah. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. For the needy shall not always be forgotten. The expectation of the poor shall not perish forever. Arise, O Lord, do not let man prevail. Let the nations be judged in your sight. Put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men. Selah. In Psalm 9, David praises God for the way that the Lord has delivered him from his enemies. You might remember that David is a very courageous warrior and was a mighty and celebrated military leader himself. It would have been easy for David to have grown to have a big head about those victories. Instead, David seems more and more through the course of his life to point to God, to what he had done and how he was a mighty king and was ruling over his enemies. In this light, you'll find that this psalm has some similarities to the ones that we've already meditated on in the months previously. We've been led to praise God for his righteous judgments. And we've been led to ask God to defend us as his people. And this psalm adds just another facet to that that I'd like to highlight today. I'm going to say two things about this psalm by way of meditation. The first is that in this psalm, we have a list of God's judgments, judgments that we've already noted in the previous psalms that sometimes make modern man cringe a little bit. We look at these judgments and try to explain them away. Listen to just a short list of them. David calls on God to sit on his throne, judging in righteousness. He calls on him to rebuke the nations, to destroy the wicked, to blot out their name forever and ever. And then maybe the most cutting one comes in verse 17. He asks God to turn the wicked over to suffer in hell. Those stark judgments are the ones that have made some commentators to try to explain this away. In fact, I've read some say that these ideas stand in the context of an Old Testament dispensation where God is a God of wrath. And now in the New Testament, since Jesus has come, that we celebrate a God of love. Those are their explanations. And they would say that these words have no expression for us today. But I hope that you would read the entire psalm. I hope that you would recognize that God's actions don't happen in a vacuum. He responds in righteous judgment against a real enemy. And the facet to the subject that I want to highlight it from this psalm is that David lists some of the actions of the wicked. So I've culled out the judgments. Now listen to what the wicked has done. These are what David says. They have destroyed cities. They have oppressed nations. They spill innocent blood. They have plugged their ears to the cries of the poor. They pour out hatred. They kill the righteous. They dig a pit and set a net as a trap, sometimes literally, sometimes metaphorically. They willfully turn against God and forgot Him. They have crushed the poor and needy. And they have exalted themselves against the Lord. The point is that God does not judge the innocent. God does not judge the innocent. God judges those who are guilty. He judges those who have sinned against Him. As David says, they have exalted themselves against God. They have willfully forgotten Him. And they sin against mankind as well. And the vile acts that are described here are ones that we could see in the world around us and in ourselves. Because there, but for the grace of God, you would find me too. God does not judge the innocent. And all we, like sheep, have gone astray. You and me and all of mankind. And the righteous judgments of God stand against the wicked. As we sing about this, there is a sense of our own confession of sin, that we deserve the judgment of God as well, which drives us to Christ. It drives us to the grace that is given to us as we confess our sins. And we know that the judgment we deserve has fallen on Jesus instead. And that leads us to Jesus. We can consider Jesus here as the forgiver of guilt, but we can also see Him as the judge. The second thing I'll highlight then is the way Jesus has been given the authority to judge. This week in my own devotions, I read in Luke 4 how Satan came and tempted Jesus. One of the temptations was that he led Jesus up onto a high mountain. He showed him the kingdoms of the earth and he said, "All of these I will give you if you will bow down to me." Jesus responded by saying, "You shall serve the Lord only and worship Him only." His answer to the Satan was that you don't own the nations. God does. God is the one who owns the nations. And this psalm describes the nations trying to exalt themselves against the Lord's rule. But as David says, you will pass away. The nations of the earth will pass away. But in verse 7 it says, "The Lord shall endure forever. He has prepared His throne for judgment. He shall judge the world in righteousness, and He shall administer judgment for the peoples in uprightness." Here I have you especially think of Jesus. For it has been revealed that when Jesus comes again in His second coming, that He will come as a mighty King and a judge. He will call the living and the dead to stand before His great white throne of judgment. and he himself will judge as it has been given him to judge. Satan doesn't own the nations. Christ does. And we can rejoice that he is this mighty judge. And that as our judge, he has also forgiven our sins by his own sacrifice. So as you sing this today, remember the judgment of God against the righteous, against the wicked. But then the forgiveness and the advocacy that we have in Jesus Christ, the righteous judge. Well, let's do sing this. We'll sing the first selection, Psalm 9, verse A, to begin with, praising the Lord for this judgment. Please stand to sing.
I now will give all